Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in that name which is above every name, the wonderful name of Jesus. I'm glad that you're able to join me today as we continue on in a message I was sharing last week on God's glorious church. But before we do that, let's take a moment to pray together. Father, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of coming together, gathering together in the unity of the Spirit, Lord, people from many different walks of life, Lord, involved in many different occupations and careers and in many different seasons in their lives. But Father, we unite around that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. And Father, while we may be in different stages of our spiritual growth, we thank you, Lord, that you who began a good work in us, you're faithful to complete it until that day that we stand before you. And so, Father, we thank you for yielded hearts, surrendered spirits. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a heart to seek you, to seek after you, to understand who you are, your nature, your character, your ways, your divine principles, which you've given for the good of mankind. And so, Father, we pray not, Lord, that we would even in ourselves fully enjoy all that you have given us, but, Lord, that we also may become bearers and ambassadors of the good news, that those who have not heard the message or those who have not received an accurate presentation and representation of the gospel, Lord, that you would anoint your people, Lord, that remnant which is alive and loving you and serving you in these days in which we're living, that we might be a powerful testimony to the reality and the truth of the living Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, I pray for everyone who has personal needs in their lives, regardless of what they are, spiritual, physical, financial, circumstantial, or relating to loved ones or relationships. Father, I thank you that you are moving in every area. You've given us the keys of the kingdom, that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And so, Father, walking in that authority and claiming that dominion principle, Father, we rebuke the work of the enemy, and we release, Father, the moving and anointing of the Holy Spirit to destroy yokes, yokes of bondage and yokes of oppression, that your people may be loosed in the freedom and joy of the Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise God. Well, on last week's broadcast, as I was bringing Friday's broadcast to a close, I made this statement that while over these centuries, men have been possibly very sincere in their attempt to set the church in order, that may have been their ongoing desire to keep it pure and on fire. And yet, every time that we have touched the holy thing to put in order what God has established, it has never been successful, and it never will be. Why? Because the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a living organism. It was not born into this world by man, and it can never be regulated or organized or administrated by man. That does not, I place a disclaimer, do away with the importance of church government, godly, scriptural church government. However, with that government that we see exemplified in the pages of Scripture, as it talks about the early church and their exploits and what they did, as recorded in the book of Acts. It was always in the fear of God and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. They met together in prayer and fasting. Then they laid hands on the apostles, on Barnabas and Paul, for example, to send them forth in missionary journeys. And so an organization is lifeless, beloved. It can be directed to do anything. Any group, any club, organization can form an organization, if you will, and set down rules and bylaws, and they can establish arbitrary membership and have regulations or rules, but that is not the same. That's man's attempt, at best, to bring into harmony and working order some principles or set of shared, agreed upon principles for a purpose of action. But the body of Christ, the church, whether local or universal, is a living spiritual organism. Just as you can't direct your body to function contrary to its purposes without destroying the body, you can't, for example, stop the blood from circulating through the intricate system of veins, and you can't tell the brain to cease sending the electrical impulses to the various nerve centers of the body to give direction and motor function. Why? Because it's not a cold mechanical machine. It's not a robot. Neither is the body of Christ a robot. It's a living organism. Men can program a computer to function as they desire, but you cannot control a living organism, or should not. It should be allowed to operate as it was designed to. And so it is with the body of Christ. We have one head, and that is Christ Jesus. And on these broadcasts, I spend very little time, if ever, sharing anything personal. Those of my UCM family who get my monthly letter of encouragement know a little more of the things that UCM has been involved in over the years. And I would say, beginning in 2005, I began active involvement in Native American ministry. We, at that time, began supporting a number of personal Native ministries that I knew and have continued throughout the years. That's one of our major thrusts. We tithe and give offerings heavily to missions of all different, you know, the poor of the world and where there's poverty, and also Native Americans. And for 2 years, from 2008 and 2010, I had a Bible study. I initially came to do that, to lead a Bible study at the historical church, and eventually, within a few months, I pastored there for 2 years. And that's when I had an involvement and began to have an understanding in a more intimate way of Native American culture. The Duck Valley Reservation straddles the Idaho-Nevada border and consists of the Shoshone and Paiute people. Nonetheless, since I last was sharing with you about what God wants to do in these days to raise up a glorious church where the Jesus can truly operate as the head, I have a friend who's Cherokee, and we worked together for a time at Duck Valley. We were involved, myself and others, in her Native Turning Point, a Well Variety program for Natives. And of course, I carried on UCM and also pastored at that historical church with much involvement in the community. Anyway, she sent me a book, and I had a few days off. I got to go camping, and that's when I get to read. And I read a book that she sent entitled The Forgotten Awakening, and it just seemed to underline everything I'd been preaching the week before about the effect when man puts their hand to the ark of God, if you will. Remember what happened to Uzzah. This book was written by a Douglas McMurray, and it speaks of how the Second Great Awakening spread west of the Rockies. And he, in 1987, this is a work of over 20 years, he was at the Library of Congress, and he discovered what he called a national treasure. He was going through some old books that looked like they hadn't been checked out in decades, and he came across several 18th century tribal prophecies about Jesus from Native American tribes of the Columbia Plateau. Basically, this was eastern Oregon, Idaho, and western Montana. And these were absolutely fascinating because they were prophecies about Jesus, but they didn't know the name of Jesus. It wasn't being used among them. Sometime prior to the advent of horses in the area, in other words, this is probably before 1730, a couple of tribes, the Flatheads and the Kalispels, received word of an important talisman. And it was the cross, and they began to wear crosses into battle to ward off evil. And the shape of the cross was known to be important to God. They called him Amotken. I may not be pronouncing it right, but translated, it means he who dwells on high. And it was considered to have great spiritual power. In one warfare battle, two did not acknowledge it, and they were the only ones that died. They would wear crosses into battle, and they believed that this talisman protected them from harm, even though they didn't know what it represented. And these prophecies came through their medicine men, their shamans, if you will. About a generation later, the Coeur d'Alenes received revelation of the birth of a savior long ago, and they began celebrating Christmas annually in the middle of the 18th century. This tradition came entirely through prophetic revelation to their respective leaders, much of what might have occurred with the Persian Magi when they were studying the stars and ancient prophecies about the time of Jesus' birth. Now remember, this occurred prior to any contact with Europeans. And since it was revealed through the cultural forms of these native people, the Coeur d'Alenes, they likely didn't celebrate it on December 25th. Well, my time has flown and I'm going to continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. I'm going in a direction I normally don't do. Radio time is very precious, and I normally just want to spend time in the Word. But this book that was sent to me in a timely fashion just illustrated the importance of God really being in control of the peoples of the earth and bringing revelation. And unfortunately, many times when we put our hands to it, we have polluted and distorted the Christian message, which we certainly did in the case of the Native Americans. Well, we'll continue, and I want to share another of the important prophecies that came through the respected elders of these Columbian Plateau tribes. I hope you find this as fascinating as I did because it shows the sovereign power and mercy and faithfulness of God. If you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Judith saying, God bless you, I love you, and until that time, may God's richest blessings forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.